This is the Audio Apologetics Blog, a ministry of Mama Bear Apologetics, bringing you the best apologetics articles and blogs from the web, but in audio format. Because let's face it, not everyone's a reader. And even if you are, sometimes you just don't have the time. Today's article is titled, Is C.S. Lewis's Liar, Lord, or Lunatic Argument Unsound? It was written by Justin Taylor as a contributor at the Gospel Coalition blog on February 1st, 2016. C.S. Lewis popularized the argument that Jesus was either a liar or a lunatic or the Lord. But as Kyle Barton has shown, he didn't invent it. In the mid-19th century, the Scottish preacher Rabbi John Duncan formulated what he called a trilemma. In Colloquia Peripatetica, page 109, we see Duncan's argument formulated in the year 1859 to 1860. Quote, Christ either, 1, deceived mankind by conscious fraud, or 2, he was himself deluded and self-deceived, or 3, he was divine. There is no getting out of this trilemma. It is inexorable. In 1936, Watchman Nee made a similar argument in his book, Normal Christian Faith. A person who claims to be God must belong to one of three categories. Quote, First, if he claims to be God and yet in fact is not, he has to be a madman or a lunatic. Second, if he is neither God nor a lunatic, he has to be a liar, deceiving others by his lie. Third, if he is neither of these, he must be God. You can only choose one of these three possibilities. If you do not believe that he is God, you have to consider him a madman. If you cannot take him for either of the two, you have to take him for a liar. There is no need for us to prove if Jesus of Nazareth is God or not. All we have to do is find out if he's a lunatic or a liar. If he is neither, he must be the Son of God. End quote. C.S. Lewis, speaking in 1942 and published in Mere Christianity in 1952, gave the argument in its most memorable formulation. Quote, I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. Now it seems obvious to me, obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. That's from Mere Christianity, pages 55 to 56. So Justin continues here. Is this a good argument? The argument can be formulated as follows. Number one, if Jesus were not Lord, he would be a liar or a lunatic. Two, Jesus was neither a liar nor a lunatic. Three, therefore, Jesus is Lord. To determine whether or not this argument is sound, we have to ask three questions. Number one, are the terms clear? Two, is the logic valid? Three, are the premises true? I would give the following answers to these questions. Number one, yes, the terms are clear. Number two, yes, the logic is valid. Premise three follows from premises one and two based on the rules of logic. Modus tollens, the negation of the antecedent of premises one can be inferred by the negation of its consequent. Three, but no, the argument is unsound because not all of the premises are necessarily true. As William Lane Craig points out in Reasonable Faith, the first premise leaves out other possible options and is therefore false. There is another alternative. Perhaps the Jesus presented in the Bible is not the true Jesus of history. The Jesus of the Bible may not be a liar or a lunatic or a Lord, but rather a legend. In other words, the Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus of history, so your claims about what must be true about the Jesus of the Bible do not lead to conclusions about the actual lordship of the Jesus of history. But C.S. Lewis can help with the rebuttal here. In a 1950 essay titled, What Are We to Make of Jesus?, Lewis works through some of Jesus' startling claims about himself in Scripture, repeating his instance that you can't conclude that he was simply a great moral teacher. If what he said is true, Lewis says, then they are the sayings of a megalomaniac. Quote, in my opinion, the only person who can say that sort of thing is either God or a complete lunatic suffering from that form of delusion, which undermines the whole mind of man. If you think you are a poached egg when you are not, looking for a piece of toast to suit you may be sane. But if you think you are a god, there is no chance for you. We may note in passing that he was never regarded as a mere moral teacher. He did not produce that effect on any of the people who actually met him. He produced mainly three effects: hatred, terror, or adoration. There was no trace of people expressing mild approval. End quote. It's here that Lewis addresses the rebuttal that Jesus did not really say these things. His followers exaggerated the story, and the legend grew that he really said these things. Lewis now shows how unlikely it would be for the Jews to invent God become man. Quote, this is difficult because his followers were all Jews. That is, they belonged to the nation which of all others was most convinced that there was only one God, that there could not possibly be another. It is very odd that this horrible invention about a religious leader should grow up among the one people on the whole earth least likely to make such a mistake. On the contrary, we get the impression that none of his immediate followers, or even of the New Testament writers, embraced the doctrine at all easily. End quote. The other option is that the accounts of Jesus were written as legends. Here, Lewis draws upon his scholarly expertise. Quote, now, as a literary historian, I am perfectly convinced that whatever else the Gospels are, they are not legends. I have read a great deal of legend, and I am quite clear that they are not the same sort of thing. They are not artistic enough to be legends. From an imaginative point of view, they are clumsy, they don't work up to things properly. Most of the life of Jesus is totally unknown to us, as is the life of everyone else who lived at the time, and no people building up a legend would allow that to be so. Apart from bits of the Platonic dialogues, there is no conversation that I know of in ancient literature like the fourth gospel. There is nothing, even in modern literature, until about 100 years ago when the realistic novel came into existence. End quote. So Lewis thinks it implausible that monotheistic Jews would have invented an incarnate Messiah, and he thinks that the genre of the gospels bear none of the typical marks of legend, based upon a lifetime of scholarly and leisure reading of ancient legends. Therefore, the Jesus of the Bible is the Jesus of history, and if this one Jesus were not Lord, he would be a liar or a lunatic. But he is truthful, not a liar. And he is sane, not a lunatic. Therefore, he is Lord. So that was the article, Is C.S. Lewis's Liar, Lord, or Lunatic Argument Unsound?, written by Justin Taylor on February 1st, 2016, and published at the Gospel Coalition. So a couple take-home points from that. So the Liar, Lord, Lunatic argument is probably one of the easiest arguments to both understand and defend on a beginner level. If apologetics conversations are intimidating to you, this would be a really great place to start. It doesn't require extensive memorization of dates or facts. Defending against legend may take a little bit more research, but the arguments against liar and lunatic are relatively accessible to the average believer, in my opinion. All that's really required is basic common sense, so today's takeaway point is my recommendation that you personalize this argument. During your quiet time or your journaling time, I suggest write down all the reasons why it doesn't make sense to call Jesus either a lunatic or a liar, based on what we know for him from history. The more you personalize the reasoning, the better you're going to be able to remember it. This is just a really easy, non-threatening beginner conversation that you can have with people who might not know Jesus. If you're like me and you're not really comfortable with just going on and evangelizing people, this is actually a really great conversational starter. Just ask them, who do you think Jesus was? And when you use your arguments, don't just state them as facts. Don't go preaching at them. state your case very casually as if you're going on the journey with them. Maybe say something like, yeah, I used to wonder about that, but then I started thinking, and then list some of the reasons that you came up with in your journal time. And then end that statement with, what do you think? That tells the person that you're not here to preach at them, but instead you're interested in your thoughts and you're interested in a conversation. It also, this is very important, it gives them an easy out if they're uncomfortable with the conversation, in which case, no harm done. If nothing else, maybe you've got them thinking. For there's a lot of people out there who really shut down with over-aggressive evangelizer types, so this might actually be one of the first times they've seriously considered the arguments because it came at them in a real conversational style, in a thoughtful, casual manner that encouraged, well, conversation and not just for them to sit there and be preached at. So those are the takeaway points for the Is C.S. Lewis's Liar, Lord, or Lunatic argument unsound? Thanks for listening. If your work has been featured on the Audio Apologetics blog and you'd like it removed, please send an email to askthemamabears@gmail.com.